Welcome to Personality Profile here on your Superstation. My name is Lexus Bill. You know, when I take a seat like this, it means I have an honorable son of the land that we need to celebrate. And today I have one such amazing brother that I would like for you to know a bit more about. But before we do that, make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend. You can actually share the video as well on our Facebook, on our social media, on our YouTube, and let the world know about this man that we're about to talk to here on Personality Profile. Welcome along. Now, like I say, we always celebrate our people here who have been working hard, going through all the challenges of life and making sure they can create value, not just for themselves and their families, but for many people out there. And this man that I have in my seat is an example of that. In fact, he's a hard worker and he's actually guided by the principle of being the very best version of himself and also making the world a better place. It looks like so far he has succeeded at that. Interesting thing is, he's not stopping yet. Honestly, it doesn't look like he's stopping anytime soon. But let me tell you a bit more about this very wonderful man that hails from Kumeu. Yeah, he's a shining light of Chinebua Kudia Secondary School and Kumasi High School. He has schooled and educated himself from some of the best educational institutions, from getting a Bachelor of Science in Tourism from the University of Cape Coast, a postgraduate first degree in law, LLB, somewhere in 2005, and a certificate to practice law, as well as a Barrister of Law certificate from the Ghana School of Law in 2007. He holds an executive MBA from the Ghana School of Management and Public Administration, GEMPA. He holds a certificate in executive education and leadership in law firms from the Harvard Law School. That was somewhere in 2012. He has a master's in law, LLM, International Commercial and Corporate Law. He's pursuing another LLM in commercial law from the Queen Mary University in London. Looks like he doesn't want to stop. Like, I'm tired for him. Genuinely. Now, he's not just a man of thoughts and ideas, but more so one of action. Yeah, he co-founded Stedham Travel and Tours in 2000. He set up Oak House Private Investigations, Ghana's first PI company, after taking an academic PI course in London. Oak and Woods Law, a boutique law firm as well, specializing in financial instruments and litigation, which works for most of the leading financial institutions in Ghana. That's his own. In the business world, he's founded Apex Capital Partners, Apex Health Insurance, Apex Trustees, Progress Savings and Loans, Ifijasi Rural Bank, BOT Properties, and like I said, he's not done. Yeah, that's the man that we're talking about. Mr. Bernard Owusu Chumesi is my guest. Mr. BOT, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm well.
So good to see you. I'm even tired reading this. Are you not a tired man already?
It's all by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Man is born to work. Mm. So, man has to have life. This is what I was born to do.
Keep going.
Yes.
Wow.
So, the sky is not even the limit.
You know, I was just thinking about it. All these things that you manage, you oversee, you try to, strategically get all of these businesses working, and also in very different fields. Do you even have time for leisure? Do you have time for leisure? what do you do when you're not working or you're always working?
Okay, so the good thing for me is I really like walking.
Okay.
And until recently, I was really jogging.
Oh, I see.
But as you age a bit, I'm in my 50s, 51 years, so you can't. The pressure on the
joints and all of that.
You have to now. My doctor says better I do brisk walking.
Oh, okay, great. I need to invite you to my walk with Lexus. Okay. We walk a lot up the mountains. Okay. So one of these ones, I think we should be coming along. It'll be nice.
I will. Yeah. Once I have the time and all that.
Yes.
So my leisure really is the exercise. Mm-hmm. I have a group of people my age.
Okay.
And that's when we do our concourse and stuff. We walk and talk. So by the time you get out of all your stress from work and everything, because of the camaraderie between us, the conversations, it really takes some of the stress out.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And mostly we do it in the mornings before we start work.
Okay.
Which means that you can still have your time to work.
Yes. Now, so one of the things I'm wondering is, you have interest in different industries.
Mm.
There's law, there's properties and construction, there's health insurance, there's private investigations, there's... How are you able to, you know, be on top of all of these things strategically?
Okay, so that we are clear that as for the private investigations, we stopped somewhere.
Okay, stopped that
2011.
Okay,
it was
okay.
A very good business.
Okay,
I remember I came to Joy FM Studios,
right.
The late Komola Dumo, God rest his soul.
Right,
and the way he was blowing, I remember coming to the studio 2005 September.
Okay,
and then somebody tells me, are you listening to Joy? I said, no, he's mentioning your name, he's talking about it. And the Komola is, you know how Komola is way,
yes,
the first,
yeah,
PI in Ghana, the guy is coming. So now you have to really be careful. it was a very good business.
Okay.
The point is, I like multidisciplinary kind of stuff.
Mm.
And every good businessman will tell you diversification is very good.
Right.
You don't know when a certain type of business will go down and others will rise.
Mm.
So once you can do it, and once you are not that kind of jack of all trade, you bring in proper directors, you bring in proper managers, you don't have to be like every day doing everything yourself.
Okay.
And
okay,
you are good to go.
Wow.
But there are people who can't let go of control.
Mm.
If you can't let go of control, then
there's no point. Look, this is actually, I know we're going to get business lessons, but I didn't know it would come in this early. But there you go. If you can't let go of control,
yes,
you probably will not be able to succeed in whatever diversification efforts that you have.
That's it.
Wow. Mm.
So,
anyway,
so you see a lot of business people, they have the potential,
mm-hmm,
but the fear of betrayal, disloyalty and all that makes them crunch, and it's difficult for them to expand. Yes,
that's true.
You should be able to do that. If you can't do that, forget it.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I mean, before we get into the thick of things, let me actually congratulate you and the team at Apex Health Insurance. You actually won the Health Insurance Company of the Year
this year.
Wow,
they really have done well. They've taken a lot of accolades over the years. It's one of the proudest. I'm so proud of that company.
Mm.
It's a company I hardly really involved myself in.
Okay.
Yes, from day one, I set it up through a friend, Dr. Sarkodie, late, unfortunately. He used to be the CEO of Akacia.
Akacia, okay,
insurance.
Right.
He gave me all the ideas to set it up. Unfortunately, he passed. Is it this year or last year? This year, somewhere, very sad event.
May his soul rest in peace.
May his soul rest in peace. So he brought me the people that I needed. He helped do the interviews and all that.
Mm.
And so, as I said, the control. I don't understand health insurance. I didn't understand it then.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get the people who understand it, leave it to them to do the work. Bring in proper board members who can do the steering of the company, see the affairs, and you, the shareholder, you pump in the money. Of course, you don't have to go and sleep.
Yeah.
I said I didn't understand it. Now I understand it. Any question about health insurance, I understand. Because as time goes on, you must.
Yes.
Because so that you know what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, and all that.
Wow. So which of the sectors, or probably the companies that you have, would you say you're more involved in now?
It is the law firm.
It's the law firm.
Yeah, because I'm the managing partner.
Okay.
So all the reports to the various clients, both local and international, you have to see to the reports. At first, I used to go to court to do litigation. Unfortunately, now I can't go.
Now you don't need
so
that.
I have other partners who do.
Okay.
So that is it. It is the law firm. I ask for that one every day. I am. And the beauty properties as well.
Okay.
Because I'm really very much of a fan of buildings.
Ah.
It's almost every day I go to the sites, check what is going on.
Yeah.
I like talking to the architects, the engineers, laborers. The subcontractors to check what is going on and also interfacing with those who are trying to market and potential purchases of those properties.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I see you have an eye for good architecture as well. We're sitting on top of the Zion House, you call it, right?
This one is Epe Suites. Zion House is the first one, okay, the smaller one.
Yeah.
That's the story. And then this one is the 10-story, that is the Epe Suites.
That's the 10-story Epe Suites.
Yes.
And I'm seeing the pool up here, the gym up, a very lovely social area as well. Yes. I see you have an eye for very, very good stuff.
Architecture is... When I was a kid, I could walk around. At that time, the biggest city I knew was Kumasi. Just walking around Kumasi, looking at, you know, the story buildings.
It's me. Shazo,
yeah, you come to a doom. That time, you see four-story, five-stories. The building is tall. And so when I came to Accra, and I even started the private investigations, I went to the tallest building in Accra then. It was the Trust Towers. That's where I started the company from. Yes, I was on the 8th floor.
Just on top of the multimedia.
Yes. The Trust Towers.
I see.
That was where I was. I was there from 2004 to 2012.
Okay.
When Zion House was finished in 2011. I even still operated from the from Trust Towers.
Trust Towers.
Before I fully moved all my staff to Zion House.
Wow.
But we finished Zion House around 2010.
Yeah.
But then tenants were here, but I was still pretty from the Trust House.
So from the young boy who used to walk from Kumehu around town and get to a doom at my buildings, now you own buildings.
Mm.
Now you own lots of properties. You own companies. You see so many people you are leading, creating change, you know, creating value and changing their lives and their families' lives. How does that make you feel?
I have a philosophy. You can do more good with money than without it. So, once you create value, the only thing natural to a human being is to spend it. So, for me, when I see the money, I buy cars for employees. Some of them, I even give them properties as well. You see them taking their kids to good schools. When you see it like that, you feel a certain kind of satisfaction. You feel that, yes, you are something to offer. You see the employees come in, you saw their state before they came in, and along the line you see them with the nice suits, you see the confidence, the before and after, you see it, and you can only just feel good about it. So it makes you feel good. I mean, doing good is for yourself. You yourself feel satisfied. You feel that, yes, I mean, this world, I'm a consequential citizen of this world, not some inconsequential. Of course, not with pride. But that kind of God feel that He gives us when you do something good.
Yeah.
You feel good.
If you look back and I ask for you to pick out one moment that, or something that happened, or in any moment that brought you the most joy, what would it be?
Okay, so apart from asking my wife to say,
I do.
She said, yes, it was, of course. If I didn't say this and I go home, you know.
Like,
my fufu. My fufu, of course.
They will leave you the banshee for you to come and find yourself.
So it was a very joyous occasion.
Okay.
So the other one that brought me the most joy, there are many, but I will try to figure one out.
Okay.
So we're going to write our final exams at the Ghana Law School.
Okay.
So I have a very good friend. So he's a good friend to the extent that he became my best man when I was getting married.
Oh, wow.
And because I was a businessman, even then, because I still had the staff and a whole lot, so I wasn't really involved in the studies.
Okay.
So you can go to class, but you come back and there's a lot of reports you have to do, When I set up the private investigation firm, before I realized I was working in Africa, whereas I was thinking about Ghana, mm-hmm. my first job came from Egypt.
Wow.
Yes. So, my friend says, gave me a certain topic. It was about 10 minutes for us to enter the law school to write the exams.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should talk about this law on presumption is you're being a valuable case. He said, no, I think. And me, I have a photographic memory.
Mm.
So I don't know why I took it so personal. And I let it, and I let it, and I went to the exams room. First question, compulsory 40 marks.
Wow.
It'd be fine. And I knew this one.
Really, I didn't
have to. And there was somebody on my right hand like this. Bernard, have you heard of this case before? I feel so sorry for the guy.
Oh, wow.
And that thing was a mind-blowing thing.
I can tell. I mean, for you to recall that moment and,
it was,
replay it.
Because I was going to the exams very handicapped.
Okay.
I had returned from London, I think, a week before.
Okay.
I think I missed the time of learning. So let's say the exams is supposed to begin in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I was thinking it was to begin in 2 weeks. I came and it was just about a week.
Wow.
Yes. So I missed it.
Yeah.
So now the point is, how do you study all these things to go and pass?
Yes.
And then 10 minutes to the exams.
Yeah.
A friend tells you about the topic. You learn it. You go in. 40 marks compulsory. Can you imagine?
Wow. Good stuff. I mean, this is interesting. So let's get to talk about the beginnings. Let's get to know you. Where are you from? Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
Okay. you rightly said I am from Kumeu.
Yes.
But technically, I'm a Fantiman.
Ah.
Yes. You know, we that can't see, you have to come from where your mother comes from.
Okay.
Yes. So, technically, I'm from Elmina, but okay. I hardly lived there. Mm.
Your dad who is from Kumeu?
Yes. And there was a separation between my parents.
At what age?
I was about 4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
That was quite early.
Yeah, quite early.
Wow.
So my father took me to Kumeu.
Do you know why there was a separation?
I would say maybe things that didn't work out between them. So before the marriage broke down, we were two boys. My junior brother was a toddler, so he was lucky to have stayed with my mom until he was 9 years before he came to join me and my father.
Oh, yes. Right, okay.
My father was always a polygamist, so he always had one wife, two wives. Or at the time he died, he had two wives, yes.
Do you know how many wives he had in all?
Oh, not too many, because my stepmom, my mom, and then the third woman, but there were always two.
Okay.
Yes.
There was two at a time?
Two at a time. But I think he married my stepmom for a very long time before he turned to marry my mom as a second, and then the last woman. So when my father died, two women did the widowhood.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So you actually grew up with your dad in Kumeu at the time?
Yes.
And but there was a mom in the house?
Yes.
Just that it wasn't your biological mom?
No, my stepmother.
How was that growing up, that upbringing as well?
Okay. The no-nonsense kind of woman.
Okay.
Yeah. She was like that. God rest her soul. You know, as a kid, you have your preconceived ideas about stepmothers and you feel like she is not fair to you. Growing up, in fact, I realized it very early in life, to the extent that my first degree, the long essay, I dedicated it to her.
You did?
Yeah, she made me the tough person I am.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she really, my junior brother lives in Europe now, and the last time he came, we were talking about it, he said, Abinapa really, really built us. Because it's like, she really made us men.
Yeah.
Yes. At the time, we were not happy about it. But growing up.
So what did she used to do that you say instilled those values in you?
For instance, going to the farm.
Okay.
You cry, heaven and hell, you go. Yeah. And waking you up early, because we used to have a lot of perennial water shortages.
Okay.
Our area, the streams and all that dry up during the dry season.
Mm.
Now, I think pipe-borne water relatively better than before. So you wake up around 4 a.m. to go and queue.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the earliest you get a bucket home, it's about 9 a.m. So that is the kind of life. So yeah. For you to get it earlier, that means that you have to wake up around 2 a.m.
Okay.
So you can imagine a young man, young boy of about 8 years, 10 years. So you are going to the river and you are already sleeping on the way. And you want to sleep and you wake you.
Also, 34
buckets. And we go so 34 buckets. Let me tell you the funny part of it is, when you are coming back. And Kumewu is a very rugged terrain.
Okay.
Hilly area, rocks.
Mm.
Kumewu is full of rocks. So, you know, small boy, you have your bucket. You are already queued for about 5 hours. You get your water. And maybe you get yourself distracted at the waterfall.
I know, right?
So when you are going back, you are crying.
Oh, dear.
And then the only good thing about Kumewu people, God bless them, was that anytime they see a small boy coming back, the water, then they start giving the information.
Okay.
Small boy, his bucket fell, so please, when he gets there,
allow him. So, as a young person, was there a certain career path that you wanted to chart when you grew up?
I always wanted to be a lawyer.
You always wanted to be a lawyer?
I always wanted to be a lawyer.
Where does that inspiration come from?
You know the Inspector Bidia Kun series, I don't know whether...
Of course, I know it.
Yeah, so you see lawyers will come in, the police will come in.
Yeah, Oscar Provençal.
Yes, the only difference is that I also started reading very early.
Mm.
And I had a lot of these trailers about lawyers. And I also liked the wig.
Okay.
The gown.
Yeah.
And Kumewu was, we had very eminent lawyers there, lawyer Kodia, a lot of them, the Kumasi lawyers, a lot of them were from Kumewu. So you see them coming to funerals on Saturdays, and sometimes they are coming from court straight away to Kumewu, and you see them in their black suit and their white shirts before they go to their family houses or their homes to change into there.
Mm.
So it made me see that I was going to be a lawyer.
How possible did it look at the time when you were just in Kumewu?
Yes, so let me bring the Elmina part.
Okay.
So Elmina part, my mom is an Elmina royal. So I'm a Kunduya technically.
Okay.
Yes. So there was, my mom had an uncle, a certain Lutros. He was also a lawyer. And according to my mom, when I was 2 years old, he took me to the family house. The man saw me and said, I'm the next lawyer.
Wow.
So my mom told me that my uncle said that you'll be the next family lawyer. So I think all those ones really sunk into me.
Okay.
And I'm an avid reader. I just read. I read everything.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. So the reading automatically was going to lead me there.
I see.
Yeah.
So now you went to Chinebu Akudia.
Yes.
Finished and did your, I think, A-level at
Kumasi High School.
Okay.
And then I went to Kinshasa. I tried to get admission into the law faculty, but I didn't succeed then.
Why didn't you succeed? Grades?
The grades, yes.
Okay.
At that time, they were taking aggregate 5, and I got aggregate 7.
Oh, wow.
I got BBC, so... they gave me political science.
Okay.
And you didn't want that. I refused to.
But you ended up doing something along the lines of tourism.
Yes. So, what happened was, the businessman in me then made me choose tourism.
Okay.
Because I decided from early age that I was going to do my own things. One of the reasons why I wanted to be a lawyer, I didn't want to be in the public sector.
Yeah.
Neither, for instance, maybe working in a ministry.
Mm.
Whatever be the reason, that wasn't my call.
I see.
So every course I did was geared towards business.
Okay.
So when I saw tourism, because it was the first time Kivas was advertising for the course. And I chose it because I realized I could do a travel agency, refer it, maybe set up local tourism. I'd read a bit about it. So immediately I applied for that course.
And so that's where the Sedem Travel and Tours came.
Yes. So when I finished the university, before I went to London, I said I registered a company with a friend.
Okay.
Yes, before we left. Wow. And then I came back 1 year, 2 months later to continue the setup.
I see.
Yep.
And what took you to London?
Normal visit to an auntie, and then I tried to school there, and I realized, no. The point is, the mind was, whatever it is, I have to do it here.
Okay.
So I decided, okay, let me go back to Ghana and then do something. And I came.
You couldn't stay there?
No. I couldn't.
So it was more like, you know, the pull factor from back home?
Yes.
Or was there a certain push from there?
So for instance, I wanted to be a businessman. The Ghanaians who go there and stay there, only a few succeed in business because of the system. Mm. Okay. So if you stay there, number one, don't forget you have to be an illegal immigrant first before you work out to get your documents and all that. I didn't want that. That stress.
Yeah.
And then number two was, I could see the potential of Ghana. And I still see the potential still. That's why I'm still here. Now I can just move to any country I want. I'm still here. Because the potential in Ghana is so great. And I told you I'm an avid reader. So when I was about 15 years, I bought this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Dale Carnegie.
Thank you very much. And I was in one of my father's cocoa farms behind Tepa. And I got the book. I couldn't put it down. I can't say how many times I read the book, but at least I know it's more than 100 times.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so I reread it. And you see, everything there is about business. Setting up. And I was quite young, 15 years, and I started reading the book. And so there was no way I was going to succeed to stay in London. I had to come back.
I see.
And I came.
And when you came back, you came to do the travel and tour?
The travel and tour, yes.
Okay. And how long did you do that before?
Okay, so the travel and tour, once I was doing it, already I had the idea about the private investigation firm.
Okay. So where did that idea come from?
When I was in the university second year.
Were you trying to spy on your girlfriend or something?
No.
Investigate your girlfriend.
It just came. That's why you see a lot of successful people in business, and you ask them, how did you do it? They always ascribe it to a higher power.
Yeah.
By God. That's the truth. You can't really say, I deliberately did this.
Okay.
Because where did the idea come from? It just came. The course I was doing was not private investigations, you know? But it just came. I had written it down and I told friends about it. I remember when I was doing a travel agency, a friend of mine, Frank, came to my office and said, I saw this book. It's a private investigation book. Read it. Then I realized, no, this thing, I've been talking about it for so long. Let me step out and try.
So what did it involve? Like, individuals would come to you and say, oh, I want to know about somebody.
A lot of people came like that. But from day one, we never devoted our attention to that. So we did more corporate due diligence.
Okay.
We did more employee background checks.
Mm.
We did more for the banks, the defaulters who have run away. So that was the main work.
I see.
It was more due diligence for corporate institutions there. That is where, because I didn't like the go and find out, because that was the same time I was in law school.
Okay.
And I had realized that to see a woman and a man, for instance, enter a hotel room, does not mean or cannot constitute that they really had anything to do.
Yeah.
Until you see, you check them in the act, like a bataza, unfortunately. Yes. as for him. He has, you know, he has nailed himself to the cross, so we can
documented
also,
his exploits.
Yeah, he has documented his exploits. Apart from that, you can't say that they entered the hotel rooms with their. So
From day one, it wasn't part of the plan.
Okay, okay. So, but you still had people come to you.
No, like, people came. In fact, and all of that. When Kumla Dubo did the interview, the first requests were all about that.
I suspect.
I had a wife. But one of them said, I'll pay you good money. I'll pay you good money. I said, no, I can't do that.
Wow.
I can't do
interesting.
That.
So, you know, when you talked about how you had these corporate institutions, including the banks and whatnot, then it just brought the fact that eventually you'd set up a financial institution as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So eventually, it had to lead me to the financial sector, doing my own thing. Mm. And it was out of anger and protestation.
As out a lawyer. Of anger?
Yes. So in the course of the private investigations and the work they gave me, the financial institutions gave me, automatically, I became a debt recovery. I set up a debt recovery company as well then.
Okay.
So because of our work and how I trained my agents, we were able to quickly find the defaulters. And because of the pressure we applied, they paid quickly. Mm-hmm. And some of the banks, you send them the invoice, and all of a sudden, they are talking about how easy it was for you, so why are we going to pay you this amount of money?
Oh, wow.
So from day one, they never thought it was collectible. So you told them, I'm going to take 10%. They say, it's fine. 15%, they say, it's fine. But you collect the money, it becomes hell. So when they were sitting there, and I said, why? What am I doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, why become a copycat where you can be the king of them all yourself? Because I understand everything that these people do. So let me start. Small. So I set up a Pest Capital Partners from under SEC, that is Security Exchange Commission.
Okay.
And then from there, set up the health insurance because of what Dr. Sarkodie of Blessed Memory told me. And then 2015, I set up the savings and loans.
Okay.
And then 2019, I set up the pensions. And then 2020, was when the license for the Fiduciary Rural Bank came.
Okay.
But for the fact that now the financial sector cleanup and everything has really shaken the system, I would be setting them up.
How did that affect you?
Okay, so IPES Capital Partners is the mother company. I remember exactly what day it was and what time. I was in Kumasi, you know, I have another building, the Zion House opposite Pempe College there. Sofola Interchange. And I got a call. I got out and I saw a lot of missed calls, and then I picked one of them. It was coming from my secretary. And then she said that PwC people are here. They said the Pest Capital Partners, the license has been withdrawn. And they are supposed to come and take over the offices. Say, really? No, it cannot be true. Then a certain lady took the phone and said, please, can you listen to Joy? We listened to any of the news, so it was about 5, and then I was listening. Yeah, I was quite shocked. Was that we are one of the fastest growing investment banking firms in Ghana. I knew we had all our investors covered. My wife was the CEO, so I know that it's not like you wake up one day and some CEO has stolen your money. So I called her. That day evening, she was not in the office. I was sure that it was a mistake. I went to see the director general. Told him, look, the Pest Capital, it's not possible. We have our money, the money is there. So please, if you want, let me just pay everybody off and just give him my license. He said he will consider it. He wrote a letter for them to restore the license. They never did. In the end,
it wasn't like you had any institutional challenges.
No,
with your business.
So let me give you the juicy part. You know, there are they did clean up 3 times. So the first cleanup was the banking sector. Second one was the savings and loans. Third one was savings and loans and the microfinance. No, I think savings and loans and the microfinance followed about 4 cleanups. And the SEC also came. Of all these 4 cleanups, Apex Capital Partners is the only company that was found solvent on liquidity basis alone. Do you understand?
Mm.
So what it means is that the money SEC agent, Mr. Ricky Nipa of PwC, came to meet in the company who pay everybody off. And they gave me a change, almost $2 million. Mm. So that's why they collapsed the company, only God knows.
You weren't given any
zero
reason
zero.
Why Apex Capital Partners?
Zero, was... zero. They said the company couldn't pay its depositors. How can a company that could not pay its depositors? You close the company down, and then 3 years later, when we sit down and go through the books, you go through the money in you came to seize in the bank accounts, you could pay everybody off. And you give me almost $7 million. The dollar then was about five cedis. Mm-hmm. So about $1.3 million you give me like that. We are not talking about physical assets like Zion House or this building we are sitting in. It's all Apex Capital. Apex Capital is the owner of the savings and loans. Apex Capital is the owner of Apex Health Insurance. Mm-hmm. So the actual money they came to meet paid everybody off, from NIB to ECG to... what is this bank? We paid everybody off.
I see.
Yes, GRA staff, everybody paid off. And the day we did the creditors meeting, the customers themselves couldn't believe it. Because you know the official liquidator, before they pay off, you have to do creditors meeting. And then I remember one of the investors asking, so why was the company taken down? It's like it was the deputy CEO who was online. He didn't talk. So it's one of the greatest challenges. I'm still at a loss how they can destroy businesses like that.
You haven't recovered from that?
No, it's difficult. It's quite tough.
What loss was it for you?
So let me give you an example. Because Apex Capital was so known, we used it to sell all the businesses. So just imagine the savings and loans. Within a matter of, I think in a day, $17 million was withdrawn. Mm. Yes, because you use Apex Capital. Everybody knows Apex Capital is the owner of Progressive Savings and Loans. Government has taken it down. Everybody was afraid. So we took a huge chunk. And it's amazing how the companies have survived till now. Yeah.
How did that affect you personally?
I had to learn swimming.
You had to learn swimming?
I had to learn swimming with my brother.
How?
I mean, because the BP was shooting like crazy.
Wow.
Because I believe there were some few people whose companies were taken down. They knew their companies were in trouble. In fact, some of them were happy that now my stress has been taken over. Mm. But just imagine that you know my business is solvent. We are not talking about even this building we are sitting in, Plaza Young House, we are talking about $30 million project. Mm-hmm. All in the name of Apex Capital Partners. We haven't talked about the Kumasi one. We haven't talked about the value of Apex Health. We haven't talked about the value of Progressive Insurance. So why would such a company go down? I believe they were fishing. They were thinking that when they take it down, like that Punchenibi would have been able to take it. So we take it down, they will go to find how can he do what he's doing.
Mm.
So listen, the point is Ghanaians have to understand something. A businessman's money is not his money. A businessman's money is not his money. A businessman's wealth is not his wealth. It is the nation's wealth. That is what we don't understand. Until we get that understanding, so let me give you a clue. I believe you the 2016 elections in the US, the 2020, they were talking about Trump doesn't pay taxes and all that. Why haven't they arrested him?
Mm-hmm.
Because the US tax system makes it in such a way that a businessman is encouraged to avoid tax, not evade, to avoid tax. You know the reason? Because the government is one of the worst spenders of money. What a businessman will use money to do, the government will use, let's say, Tele Classroom. You have the example, Joy, I remember. So you see, the businessman is encouraged to reinvest the money instead of giving it to the government.
Mm.
So they would, you see the Democrats were talking about Trump. Nobody arrested him because of some tax evasion. No, because he has the accountant, they have done his books, and the money is rolled over into the economy.
Mm.
Now let me give you an example. Elon Musk. Everybody knows the guy is rich.
Yeah.
Where is his money? The money sits in the banks. The banks use them for loans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So Elon Musk, technically, if you ask me who is Elon Musk, Elon Musk is what he's wearing, where he sleeps, the food he eats.
Mm-hmm.
The rest is just ego.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the aggregation of individual wealth that makes up the GDP. So if you come and destroy Kutuya Moabe, you destroy Kabrado 4, you destroy all those people, and you think that it is those people you have a problem with, you are forgetting that you are really destroying the economy. Because when those people go down, it is not them, it is the people.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine if Pepe's capital was still here. I would be far, far higher than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring me down, it affected people who were employees. And now, what is sad about all this is this, that people need role models. So if he saw Dr. Kabrado 4, that big man, that this is how they brought him low. Kofi Amwabe, they brought him low. A new businessman, what are you going to tell him to come into financial sector?
Mm-hmm.
A financial sector, any country in this world, whose citizens don't own the financial sector, you are like foreigners in your own country.
Mm.
You understand?
I understand.
Absolutely. So those people, look at, I'm giving you Kofi Amwabe, because I was once in the US and I was watching CNN, and then there was a break. And then I see Kofi Amwabe on Johnny Walker.
Okay,
I was so proud. I saw him and I have my two shoes and he was walking through the Independence Square. I was so proud of him.
Yeah.
He became big.
Yeah.
Such a person, you don't destroy him. You build him up. Do you understand? Because the aggregation. So Kofi Amwabe wrote a book about business and everything. What does that make it now? For the new guy who will come and read that book and know that this is how he ended.
Mm-hmm.
What lesson is he going to get from it?
Mm.
What motivation is new entrepreneur going to get? All these things, the rulers of the economy never considered it. So they just took it down, it was as if it is individual's property. And now we have a city that is from 5 cities all the way to 16 under 2 years.
Do you think that whole process was politically motivated?
I won't say that. The reason I'm not going to say that is this. It is the Ghanaian. I know one day, from the president to his finance minister and all those people, when they are out of power, and they sit back, they will see that their advisors did them in. From the Buddha's report to the receivers, what they have done to people, you have no idea. Rawlings, before he died, God rest his soul, they didn't want to speak to some of his former advisors because of this. How he collapsed BMNSS International Tobacco Ghana Limited. He couldn't believe it, that it was just some misunderstanding of some bookkeeping. So the Ghanaian, technically, we are in churches, we are in mosques, but naturally, when you give a Ghanaian power to do something on your behalf, for instance, if I say, go and give Lessons Bill 100 cities for me, the person will come and give you 50. You say, Master, don't go and bother him again. Try to be for force.
Mm-hmm.
But if I tell somebody to go and slap Lessons Bill for me, he will give you 4 slaps. In fact, if you don't take care, he will even tie you to a car and drag you.
Yeah.
So the Ghanaian underdo good and overdo evil. That is who we are. So there are a lot of things that went on that probably I consider both Bawumia and Mahama very nice people. I don't think their regime will come and continue this kind of rich hunting that has happened. I mean, they have all seen it, that now everybody in Ghana, look at your purchasing power. It's gone. Mm-hmm. I read on your platform, Dayless Finance,
my friend, what's his name?
Ken Thompson.
Ken Thompson. He said that it will take us 53 years for us to go back to 2016. I think it's a bit exaggerated. 53 years to get back to 2016 is too much.
Mm.
But we have really gone back.
Yeah.
Anybody from MPP, NDC, if you ask them and they're truthful, 2016 is a better place than now.
Mm. At the time, your wife was the CEO
yes.
of Apex Capital yes. Partners. So you literally had a home
yes.
that was...
Family run. And then, so since then, I have never involved her in the business again. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, because you see, I go home, she's stressed,